You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Phillies Backstage. John, I haven't seen you in a while.
Yes, yeah. I have not seen you for a while.
It's been a crazy time around here. We've been running pretty good.
Yes, you still got you got some fur in your ears.
Some fur in my ears.
Take them out.
We had a little bit of technical difficulty, but we're back.
We are back,
and we have a great guest on the phone. We got Kyle Kendrick with us. How you doing, Kyle?
Hey, guys. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I just saw Kyle. He came to the game with his son for his birthday, so it was good to see you and Stephanie and the kids. Your daughter is, I think, 2 years, 3 years younger than my daughter, and she's already towering above her.
Oh, yeah. She had a blast. You know, kids got to see the Fanatic. They love that. We did it for my son's birthday here in about a week or so on the 30th. So up here at the Shore, and he wanted to go to a game, so we did that. That was great for the Phillies to hook that up, and they loved it. Loved seeing the Fanatic, watching the game, and I enjoy always coming back and coming to the ballpark and, you know, seeing the fans, seeing you guys that are still there. So it's always a good time to come back.
And you'll be coming back in I guess a couple of weeks, right? In early August for the Roy Halladay retiring his number.
Yep, we're going to come up for that. So that'll be fun.
So who else is coming up for that you know of? Are we allowed to even disclose?
I guess
we're going to find out right now.
Well, I heard Tooch is coming. That's all I know.
Great.
From the guys, you know, that were on our team that I play with, all I heard really is Tooch should be there.
Yeah, good.
Well, I guess that's going to be a great day for you too, Kyle, because John and I, before we called you, we had talked about, how you really were very much associated with Roy. You know, I know how much you learned from him and followed him around, right? Talk to us a little bit about what Roy meant to
you. Well, and I can say, Kyle, just on that, you know, I'd go down to spring training and I'd bring radio stations. I would get down there and set up like really early, 4 o'clock in the morning. And who would I see? I'd see Kyle and I'd see Roy Halladay at 4 in the morning or 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Yeah, our first year, Roy got traded over 2010 spring training, and saw him at the ballpark and realized he was coming, getting his work done early. And I was like, just asked him, straight up asked him, hey, can I come join you? I said, sure. And so took me in and got to pick his brain early in the morning, and just a great leader, routine, the way, stuff he taught me, just a great guy. Good guy off the field too, was a great dad. So definitely we missed, and just wanted to be there, for his jersey, and that's something special. And so looking forward to it.
You know, Kyle, I know you, the mental part of the game was so, associated with Roy. You know, he really worked on that part of his game. And, you know, you, I know just even doing, reading about how you, when you were drafted, when you were scouted, it seemed like scouts and coaches all mentioned your demeanor and your presence on the mound. Is that something that you, when you got to the Phillies and you talked to Roy, would you guys talk about that part of the game?
Yeah, just, what he went through, having 2 years in the big leagues and then getting sent down all the way to A ball, what he had to go through. He just talking about that, and obviously baseball is very mental and tough at times. And, he got me set up, with Jamie Moyer, him too, with Harvey Dorfman, who was a great mentor for all of us, on the mental side. And, so that really helped. But yeah, Roy was just, had to be mentally tough out there and stay in the zone and all that, was a big help towards me. And just watching him go about his business, how he went every day, had a routine, came to the park, trying to get better, was just on top. I mean, in my eyes, those 10 years, best pitcher from like 2010, best pitcher in baseball, I think. So
did you guys talk about pitches itself? Like, like how he grips a certain ball or how he throws a certain pitch? Did you get through the mechanics of that?
Yeah, he showed me his sinker. I mean, his cutter, which I, you know, worked on and got, and so I kind of took from him his cutter. Learned, he taught me that. You know, we threw the same split finger that Doobie kind of taught both of us. And you know, obviously he was a sinker baller too, so you know, talked about that. But yeah, we talked about pitches, and you know, he helped with that, and you know, reading hitter swings, different lineups, all that stuff.
We had Jamie Moyer on a couple months ago, and he, obviously you mentioned him with Harvey Dorfman. He had talked about how Harvey Dorfman literally changed his whole career. He kind of hit somewhat rock bottom after pitching for a while. He went, his agent took him out to visit Harvey at his place in Arizona, and then just from that point on, he became a, you know, adamant disciple of Harvey Dorfman. Is that, did you meet Harvey Dorfman, or is it more just kind of reading his book and kind of going through that?
Yeah, I never got to meet Harvey. Just sit on, read the book, talked to him on the phone a lot. You know, when I got in contact with Harvey, he's kind of at the end, you know, had some health issues. So never got to meet him, but we talked on the phone a lot. But yeah, he was great. Just in the book too. I still, you know, now that I'm doing coaching myself, I still, you know, try to get the kids to read that. Just can always, you know, stuff. I was very needed in baseball, mental side. It's a great book.
Yeah, and I guess, too, Kyle, your career, when you look back at it, you were, you know, such an important part of, you'd have stints in the starting rotation and stints in the bullpen, kind of going back and forth. I guess, you know, the mental part of the game's got to be important with a role like that. I mean, we were just talking about, you know, as a teammate of Roy Halladay, 2011, the four aces, you know, it was such a ballyhooed thing. And then, you know, you wound up, Blanton and Oswald got hurt at some point during different points of that season. And, you know, you were the guy who stepped in. So the mental part of that, just, you know, the different roles, and in a, you know, at Philadelphia, a tough town, it was also, you know, sellout crowds and a lot of pressure. I guess that mental part probably meant a lot at that point.
Oh, for sure. I remember those years of, you know, going back and forth with all the, you know, the rotation we had, and how good, you know, our rotation was. And yeah, I was in the bullpen and then coming out start and go back and forth, but I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed just the, not knowing what I was going to do, you know, if I was going to start or come out of the bullpen. But having that mental, you know, help from Roy and from Harvey, was huge.
And having that star studded rotation that you have all these guys to, you know, as a young pitcher to kind of pick and choose or pick their brain. I mean, would you guys do that? Would you talk to Roy Oswalt about maybe a certain pitch or about his mental approach to the game, or same thing with Blanton or you know, others?
Cole,
yeah.
For sure we did. You know, Oswalt, just his career, what a great career too, you know, how long he pitched, and just, you know, talking to him about certain stuff, how to pitch guys he faced, what he thought in different positions, him, Cliff, Cole, even, you know, Blanton, all those guys. Just, I was, you know, looking back, just, you know, real fortunate to get to pitch with those guys and be a part of a rotation or a pitching staff with those type of guys. It's something that I've, you know, very, you know, fortunate that I get to be, you know, was teammates with those guys.
And then how about, you know, obviously you threw to Chooch. Chooch, we saw him as a fan and as an employee, you know, coming up through the system, start off at second base, and he goes to catcher, and then he grows into one of the best catchers, you know, in the major leagues. What was it like throwing to Chooch? What were some of the, you know, highlights with you and Chooch?
Oh, he was awesome. Just always energetic back there behind the plate, always fired up, always, you know, felt bad. You know, he always felt like he threw the pitch or something, you know, guy had a bad outing, just really cared about his pitching staff, and especially his starters too. You know, Chooch was always, I mean, I threw a couple of complete games with him, and he was always fired up for me, just always, you know, in your corner, pulling for you. Great teammate, and I'm happy, you know, hopefully he'll be there on the eighth. Happy to see him, and just a good dude too, awesome in the clubhouse, good teammate, good leader. And, you know, him and Brian Shiner, best, you know, for sure the best catches that I've thrown to.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, I was out in Denver for the All-Star game, and they had the MLB draft there the same time as the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess, can you remember the day you were drafted? It was 2003, but, you know, there's no ESPN covering it live or anything that they do like that now. But do you remember that day when you got drafted?
Oh yeah. It was actually, I was still in school, you know, but my dad, my parents let me stay home that day because we, you know, thought maybe I would be drafted, and all my friends came, you know, came over. It was a great time. You know, that actually the Braves called the round before, thought I was going to get picked in the sixth, and then the Phillies called, said we're going to take you in the seventh, and you know, it was a great time. All my friends there. I'll never forget it. I can still remember the day we had the computer on. Hearing my name and everyone, all my buddies yelling and stuff. It was really cool.
A lot of people don't know that you were a phenomenal quarterback in high school, the state of Washington. And we were talking kind of off the air that, I mean, there's a lot of former Phillies pitchers that were star quarterbacks from the state of Washington. You had Larry Anderson, who was going to go to Oregon. He had a scholarship from Oregon. Mm-hmm. You had Larry Christensen, who was a star. You know what? I don't know if Larry was he a football player too? Did you ever talk to him about that?
Because I'm not sure. I know he went. I think he went to Marysville, which is a little south of me, I think. But I'm not sure if he played football or not.
But I was going to say Sandberg too. Ryan Sandberg was. I heard legendary stories where he was talking to Don James from Washington and Tom Osborne from Nebraska, Barry Switzer from Oklahoma. Yep. I mean, he was recruited by all the big. Schools, so there must be something in the water in the state of Washington. And you were going to be a quarterback of Washington State if you know things didn't work out with baseball.
I signed to go to Washington State, play quarterback, and you know, grew up playing football, baseball, and basketball. Baseball was always my first love, but try to push kids. You know, now I'm coaching my son to play all sports they can, and I just enjoyed playing all of them, competing, and. Yeah, when I first got drafted, struggled my first couple of years and thought about, you know, maybe I made the wrong choice on sports and should have went to college. But, you know, battled through it, worked out. But, yeah, I always loved football and I'm happy that I chose baseball.
Yes, so are we, Kyle. That was it. You chose wisely. And, you know, 2007, you made your debut, and I forgot that you had played against your debut was against the White Sox, and it was Jim Thome's return, right?
Yeah. Yep, Jim Thome made his return from getting traded, or I think he just coming off the DL or something. But, he got a standing ovation in his first at-bat, and that was my debut, and it was, like, it was pretty cool. I didn't know what to do. I stepped off and just kind of looked around, let the fans, you know, stand up and platformers. It was really awesome. And we ended up winning the game. Aaron Rowan hit a grand slam, I remember, in the seventh or the eighth to break the tie. And then, we won the game. Special debuts, you know, guys, you never forget it. You know, it's just as a kid growing up, you dream of playing in the big leagues. And that was my day. And it was a beautiful day game against the White Sox, really. Really awesome.
Well, Kyle, also, you have a big part in that playoff run. We obviously made the playoffs for the first time since, 1993, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Since 1993. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people credit you because, if you remember, we were down 17 games. I'm sorry, 7 games, 17 games left. But even back in August, that's when we started our dominance against the Mets. We went on a unbelievable run against the Mets, which we had to in order to catch them, which we caught them obviously on the last day. But it was you won, I believe it was a game in August. You beat the Mets, and then from that point on, we didn't lose against the Mets, which obviously propelled us to the playoffs.
I remember that game. It was we played them 4 at home, and I had the last game of the day game. And, we swept them at home, and we went on the road, and, we finished strong. But I do remember that series and that last, you know, August, September. That was awesome to be a part of that. Just watch our team kind of gel at the end there and, get to the playoffs. And that was really, really awesome to be a part of that.
Yeah, and that was a young team. And I don't know when Jimmy made that pronouncement that, you know, you guys are going to win the NL East. but he made it. And what were you guys thinking as teammates? Wow, Jimmy's really going out on a limb right there, or we're going to follow what he says.
I think he made that statement in spring training that year. I think, I'm not sure, but I do remember him saying that. And then we ended up winning the last day, but that was crazy. What a last couple weeks of that year. And Jimmy calling it was pretty cool. But yeah, we were young. That core offensive guys were young, and just cool, awesome to watch those guys come to the field and grind how we did. And, special time.
And that last game of the season, remember that, Kyle? We had a late afternoon start, and the Mets were already down like 6 or 7 runs in the first inning, and they flashed that up on the scoreboard, and the place went crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they were playing the Marlins, I think.
And they were
playing
Marlins, the Mets, right? Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Jamie Moyer was on the mound for us.
Yep. Yep. I do remember that. That was awesome. What a fans. We had the bank was packed. That's a great place to play. And that's another reason I love coming back and going to the games. And having those old feelings come back and those memories. I love being there.
All right. Well, let's go into one of your teammates did something very bad to you, Kyle. And I'm wondering whether you hold a grudge against Brett Myers, because he did a practical joke to you. It's something that Larry Anderson did this to Wayne Gomes
back
in the
90s, right? And so tell what happened. What did Brett Myers do in the beginning of 2008 spring training? Tell the listeners what happened.
That's good. Yeah. It was my first big league camp, 2008, just a regular day. And then, got called into Charlie's office, Charlie in there. And at the time, it was Ruben Amar, who was our assistant GM, was in there. And just, they both told me that, we kind of made a move and this is going to be, better for your career. It's going to help us, thanks for 07, but you've been traded to Japan. And at the time, I was 22 or 23, I don't remember, but, all I know is I didn't know you couldn't get traded to Japan. So I was like kind of in full panic. I felt like I hit it pretty well, but inside I'm thinking, what in the world? I just had a great 07. Like, you gotta be kidding me. There's no way. Ended up, obviously Brett was involved too, and Comcast. It was great. I mean, the whole thing was put together really well. But I really had no idea. My agent was involved in it. I still talk to Brett about it. It still gets, brought up. I was just at my buddy's wedding here a couple months ago, and they're all from New York, big Mets fans, but they brought it up, so we all had to watch it together. It's great.
You look
it's
calm.
A great prank.
I watched the video. You looked actually calm for someone that's, was told they're getting traded to Japan.
Yeah, and weren't you getting traded for the guy who eats all the hot dogs?
It was Kobayashi.
That's another thing, too. That's another thing, too. I didn't even know who Kobayashi was. Hot dog eater. I had no idea.
Right.
So that gets brought up too, and it was just a great prank. It'll be around forever. It's just a good, looking back, I don't know how it was going to be this big, but I'm glad I acted how I did, because if I really like freaked out how I wanted to, or just kind of blow up, I don't think it would have been as funny. So, I was in such shock that I didn't really have any. I was just like, you guys, what the heck? I just bought a car. I'm thinking, I just bought this car. What am I going to do? I can't get this car over there. There was a lot of things going through my mind.
Yeah.
Well, when Wayne Gomes got traded, the fake trade to Japan, I don't think they let in on the teammates. I don't think a lot of his teammates knew. So his best friend, it was Larry somebody, who was, they have on camera crying that his best friend's getting traded to Japan. Right? So obviously.
I heard someone was crying in that one. Either Wayne was crying or someone was crying.
I think it was Wayne. I think it was his buddy.
Okay. Well, I felt like it, but I'm glad I didn't. More embarrassing.
All right. Now, the other thing, too, is, Kyle, I think you know this, but we share something in common that I'm constantly reminded, especially when something like this happens again. But I had my World Series ring stolen, and you lost your World Series ring, I think, in a pond, right? Didn't they have to dredge a pond?
No. So mine got stolen too.
Oh, it did. Okay.
My house.
Oh, that's right. It got burglarized. Right.
Yes, my house got broken into when I was actually, my wife and I were at spring training. She's in Seattle. Everything, they took everything, and the ring was one of them. The cops did a great job getting it back, but that was stolen, and they found who broke in my house, and they actually the burglars actually told the cops like, this is where it is. We threw it here, and they found it. But I'm glad I didn't lose that.
Yeah, so I think maybe Eric Valent also got his. Maybe his was the one that got dredged from a pond or something. So, yeah, Kyle, whenever someone loses in this town, a Super Bowl ring, World Series ring, championship ring, my name somehow comes back up. And
John lost his in a bathroom stall. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how that happened.
Yeah, mine didn't get burglarized. I burglarized myself.
Hey, Kyle, I have to ask you, Kyle, how did you meet Stephanie? I know if people don't know, Stephanie was on Survivor. Did you know her before that, or did you meet her
afterwards? No, I did not. Yeah. So I didn't know anything about Steph. She was on Survivor or nothing. When I got called up, I was staying downtown, and she had this restaurant, her and her brother on this restaurant at the time. And I remember it always would stay open late. And so after games, I'd go there and have dinner or whatnot. And she was there. And I just kept, you know, I went in there one time. I was like, oh, this cute girl owns this place. And I just kept going back and back and, you know, talking to her. And that's kind of how we met. But, and then I found out, you know, that she was on Survivor. And my mom's a big Survivor fan. And so I told her, I met this girl, you know, dating this girl that was on Survivor. Do you know this Stephanie? And she's like, oh, yeah. And she told me all about her. So I had no idea, though, the whole Survivor thing.
It's better that way.
Wait,
absolutely.
So did you meet?
Yeah, right.
Did you meet Stephanie before Cole met Heidi? Because Heidi was also a Survivor alumni.
I think Cole. Yeah, Cole met Heidi first because they got married.
Gotcha. Okay.
I think year before us, but I met Steph after.
Now, could you see yourself after watching those episodes? Would you get voted off the island right away, or do you think you would survive?
Oh, I'd be the first one out of there. No shot. You know, I've gotten asked that so many times. Like, could you do that? And I'm no chance. Zero. I enjoy watching, you know, with her, and the kids love it too. My kids love that she was on it, and they love watching it. So I watch it with them, and there's zero chance I could do that.
That's beautiful. And that's pretty cool that you can watch those episodes now. Yeah, I guess they're on. You can bring them up and you can see the episodes.
Yeah, I haven't even seen them. And so just a year or two ago, we watched all of the ones that she was on because I never seen them. So that was pretty cool. My kids loved it.
Well, they have I know your wife's been on some alumni shows, right? Where they some of the past people. So, like, could that ever come up again? Could Stephanie ever get asked to go on an alumni Survivor in Guam or somewhere?
It's a free vacation
in
Guam.
She got asked to go on a year or two ago, but we just had our third kid, and so she didn't want to do it. But yeah, I mean, I think now next year, you know, year or two, if she gets asked to go, she might go again. But I'll tell you one thing: I'm not going. I'm not going to do it.
how would the Fanatic do on Survivors?
The Fanatic likes five-star restaurants or five-star hotels, yes. Accommodations. So
likes to be pampered.
Yeah, there'll be no bugs. Although he is a flightless bird. I think he does eat birds or bugs. But,
I hope he doesn't eat birds.
John, you got the quiz out. Hey, Kyle, I don't know if you know our podcast or not, but John always administers a quiz, and it's about your life.
All right.
So, you know, shouldn't
and it's multiple choice.
Multiple choice. How many questions,
it's John? Eight questions.
Eight questions.
And Kyle, you mentioned that your son is a big Fanatic fan. So I think if you get, we'll make the bar 6 out of 8. Okay. So you have 6 out of 8. You got to get 3/4 of the questions. And if you do get at least six, Tom, you'll send Kyle, we'll get his address, and you're going to send some Fanatic books.
Absolutely.
Autographed by the Fanatic.
Yes.
How about that?
Oh, my kids will love it.
We might just do it anyway.
Yeah, right.
We're going to do it anyway.
You can bomb this quiz, Kyle. Yes. We'll send you some books.
They would love that.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So the first question is, again, multiple choice, A, B, C, D. First one is, you went to high school in Mount Vernon, Washington, right? The city was named after this estate of what former president? So what former president had an estate called Mount Vernon? Was it A, Abe Lincoln, B, George Washington, C, Thomas Jefferson, or D, John Adams? So was it Lincoln, Washington?
Man, I think I learned this. I think it was Washington.
Washington is correct. He's on a 1-for-1 roll right here. All right, ready?
Yeah, no more, I mean, we promise, no more history questions there.
All right, you did go.
That was a good one, though.
Well, here's your other one. It's the same thing with Mount Vernon. Did you know, I always do this with all of our guests, that I always try to find celebrities that went to that high school. So I found some celebrities from your high school, but one is going to be a celebrity that did not go to your high school. So three did. I'm going to do A, B, C, and D. Three went to your high school. One did not. You got to tell me which one did not. Okay. So we have A is film and television actor Jim Caviezel, who actually played Christ in Passion of the Christ. B is former Major League Baseball and NBA player Mark Hendrickson. C is Jim Nabors, who played Gomer Pyle. And D is Cheryl Benton, who's singer with the Manhattan Transfer. So was it Jim Caviezel, Passion of the Christ? Was it NBA player Mark Hendrickson, Jim Nabors / Gomer Pyle, or Cheryl Benton, singer with the Manhattan Transfer?
Wow, it's one of the last two. I know that.
Stop laughing, Tom.
It's either C or D.
So it's either Gomer Pyle or Manhattan Transfer.
Yeah, I'm going to take a guess. I'm just going to go C.
Gomer Pyle is correct.
Gomer Pyle makes the list.
So you were born a year after Tom and I graduated from high school, so you wouldn't know. Do you even know who Gomer Pyle is? Was that before your time? Yeah, that's way before your time.
It was a sitcom.
No, I knew the first two. I knew the first two, but I didn't know. But so I just had to guess.
All right. We talked about you getting recruited to play quarterback at Washington State, right? Mm-hmm. Which one of these current or former NFL quarterbacks did not play at Washington State? Okay, so three of them did, one did not. You got Drew Bledsoe, Mark Rippon, Gardner Minshew, or Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Ryan Fitzpatrick did not.
Ryan Fitzpatrick did not. I believe he went to Harvard. So he's on a roll, 3 for 3, Tom.
3 for 3.
He's heading towards those books.
Strong.
All right. In 2003, after getting drafted, you played in the Gulf Coast League. Which one of these was not a teammate that year? There's one fake. It's actually a friend of mine. And three of them actually were your teammates. Okay. So which one was not the teammate? Okay. Hopefully I'm not going to butcher these names. All right. A is Sean McAleer. B is Nicholas Italiano. C is Timi Moni Eregbali. And D is Clemente Doble. You want me to say those names again?
Timi was a teammate. Italiano was a teammate. And then who's the last
one? So it's between Sean McAleer or Clemente Doble. It's got to be Doble.
Yeah. I think Clemente Doble was a teammate. So I'm going to say the first one was not a teammate.
Sean McAleer, you got it correct. Very good. You're on a 4-for-4 run.
On a roll.
Yes. All right. Your former manager, Charlie Manuel, I'm sure you know this. He won the Japanese home run title. And the first American to win MVP since 1964, he did that in 1979. He had 37 home runs. Which team did he lead to its first pennant win in that year? Was it the Yomiuri Giants, the Kintetsu Buffaloes, the Nankai Hawks, or the Chinuchu Dragons? So was it the Giants, Buffaloes, Hawks, or Dragons?
Ooh. I remember seeing a paper clipping of him in his jersey.
You get a lifeline with a fanatic because he doesn't know the answers here, and the fanatic's been to Japan, so he might be able to help you out.
Well, the fanatic's not here, but I am.
I want to use that.
All right, he's using the lifeline.
Kyle, he played for the Swallows over there too.
Colt Swallows.
But that year he won the MVP. My guess is the Dragons. It's going to be my guess, but I'm not 100% certain on that.
Are you going to go with Tom's guess?
Yeah. I was feeling Dragons too. I'm gonna go with that.
Never trust Tom Burgoyne. You saw what he did earlier here with that pushing the wrong the wrong button. It's a Kintetsu Buffaloes.
The Buffaloes.
Yes.
I would have got that wrong. I wouldn't have guessed that.
We should know that, by the way.
That's
John.
All right.
We should know that. Charlie.
All right. This is question 6. So far you're still on a good run.
Okay.
You married obviously a 3-time survivor contestant, Stephanie LaGrossa. Which one of these is not a survivor winner? One of these is not a survivor winner. Three of them are. One's not. Okay. A is Tom Westman. B is Danny D is Danny Boatwright. C is Adele McDonald. And D is Sandra Diaz Twine.
Adele did not win.
Adele McDonald did not win because she works for the Phillies, and she's worked for the Phillies since the 70s, right?
Tom? Yeah. Yep.
Yes. We'll have to ask Adele whether she would be a good survivor contestant. All right, so I just talked to Adele today. So you're on a roll. You only have 2 more questions. All right. The fanatic was just at the MLB All-Star Game. You mentioned that with a lot of his fellow mascots. Which of these is not a Major League Baseball mascot? okay, which is not a Major League Baseball mascot. A, the mangy moose. B, Lucille. C, the swinging friar. And D, Dinger. So is it the mangy moose, Lucille, swinging friar, or Dinger? Why are you looking at me funny, Tom?
I don't think Lucille is a mascot.
No, Lucille is, but mangy moose. Oh. Why do you say mangy moose?
That's the fake one.
Well, I thought the mariner moose.
It's the mariner moose.
I came up with that's a bad question. You get it right.
Yeah, I shouldn't have
said the mangy moose.
Kyle, that is not on you.
I was thinking of the mariner moose. Yeah, the mariner moose. I thought that's who it was.
Look, you know what, Kyle? I butcher at least one question every quiz, so that's par for the course. But the good news is you get credit for that. So now you still only have one.
Nice.
And now you have one last one. Okay, and this is the first one that's baseball driven. Okay, how many major league strikeouts did you have in your major league career? Your major league career? Here's the choices. Ready? A 650. B 928. C 800, D 705.
Wow, I should know this. So I get a lifeline on this too? Because I really don't know.
Who's your lifeline going to be?
Yeah.
I'd
be throwing a dart.
I'm going to see. I know how many innings I had. So if I had to guess, obviously it wasn't a strikeout pitcher. What's the
650, 928, 800, or 705?
No, wow. I mean, I'm just taking a guess here. I'll say 705.
705 is correct. You went 7 for 8.
Oh, wow.
Look at you.
How about that? Very good.
Look at you. Well done, nice. Kyle.
All right.
And he's going to win some autographed books.
I did not know I had that many strikeouts. Not that that's a lot, but I didn't know. I should know that, right?
Yeah, well, give him your name, your kid, so then Tom can talk to the fanatic to get some autographed books for us.
Well, yeah, you have to.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, send us your address too, Kyle, and then we'll send something.
Yeah, just text me back with all that info.
Okay, I'll text you their names and address. That'd be awesome.
And we really appreciate you spending some time with us, Kyle. It's great talking to you.
And looking forward to seeing you in two weeks.
Thank you. That was fun. Yeah, I'll see you in a couple weeks. Thanks, guys, for having me. That was fun.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.
All right, guys. Yep.
And there he is, Kyle Kendrick, John.
That's great.
That really is. I know. You know, it's really cool when these guys come back. TV showed him up there in the suite last week with his family. And, you know, obviously in a couple of weeks we have our alumni weekend. And, you know, between Manny Trio being honored, David Montgomery, Roy, the number being retired.
Yeah, so David is on Friday night, yep. David Montgomery, which is going to be very special, especially to all of us that worked for David for a long time. And then Saturday's 4 or 5 start, Manny Trio. All fans are going to get a Toyota Manny Trio Wall of Fame print. Yep. Manny Trio is going to get inducted into the Wall of Fame. And then Sunday is going to be a very special ceremony, 1 of 5, where we are retiring Roy Halladay's numbers.
Yeah, so it's going to be a great
all
weekend.
All thanks to Toyota. It's going to be a great weekend.
It'll be great. We'll have a lot of guys back. And, hopefully we can snag someone for the podcast too, right?
Well, I think we've talked about it. I met him for the first time 2 years ago down spring training. Everyone asks who your favorite player was growing up. I'd love Steve Carlton. As far as the superstars, I'd love Steve Carlton. I'd love Steve Carlton. But you always have like one unsung guy that wasn't maybe the superstar. But so my favorite player on that scope was easily Manny Trio. Loved when he'd get that ball, he'd hold on, and then all of a sudden he'd just fire that over there.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can get Manny. We're working with some of the back channels to get Manny, and then maybe we'll get some other guys.
Yeah.
Because I know a bunch of guys are coming in.
It's always
like,
great
Mike
weekend.
Lieberthal, some others.
Yeah, it's always great weekend. Hopefully all the fans can come out, fill the place. It's going to be a great weekend. And is that it for us here, John, or what?
I think that's it for us.
This is a wrap. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody, and we will see you next time on Phillies Backstage. Backstage with the Golden.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.